This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, you've reached Tanner. Leave a message at the beep and I'll... Mom! I'm on the phone!
Hey, Tanner. I know I called you last week, but I guess for these weekly calls, I couldn't wait for yours, and I wanted to talk to you because some of the guys at school found out that you apparently traded a rare Millennium Furby for a Goblin Hero Magic the Gathering card, which is, like, not rare, and it's just in the new deck, but you thought it was rare, and so, like, everyone's talking about it, and I just wanted to tell you now that your social life is dead. Oh, and Sonny Winslow's mom is dead, too. Call me back.
You say I'm never here when you call me. You say I'm not home all the time. So and I wish that I could have answered, and I know that it seems so mean, but I hope that you'll be leaving a little message on my machine, 'cause I missed you. Yeah, I missed you. But I'll call you back as soon as I get your message.
Hey, Jack, I got your answering machine message. Well, this, I don't know what to say. This is devastating. I just can't imagine how it feels to take advantage of someone like that, because I was told that Goblin Hero was rare and worth quite a bit of money, and was actually a great card, and I do play Mountain Deck, so I thought it would synergize well with the rest of my deck, but I've played it a few times now, and it's not even a great card, so it's, if it doesn't have any value and it's not great in play, I feel like I was really taken advantage of. And that Millennium Furby was a gift from Elizabeth Winslow. And I don't think, I guess I can call her and ask her for another one. Sorry, I didn't get to the end of your message. I was so worked up about the Goblin Hero thing that I turned off your message, so I didn't get to the end of it. I don't know if you had more to say, but I'm going to give Elizabeth Winslow a call and see if she has any more Millennium Furbies. Okay. I guess thanks for the heads up. Bye.
Tanner! Welcome to our show. I'm Jack Shepard. You can say your name.
Tanner.
Tanner Greenring. And we are the Babysitter's Club, but we read the California Diaries.
And we're tearing through them. This is the second book three we finished.
This is the second book three.
As many weeks.
It feels in some ways like the apex of the cycle.
We're like the apex twins.
We're like the Apex Twins, and that is indeed what that band is called. And you have got it exactly right, which is perfect. And we read Sunny Book 3, didn't we, this week? What a fun one this one was.
What a fun book we read this week, huh? And I just love to read fun books.
Yeah.
And I love having to explain to my wife why I am pacing around the room, reading a book on my iPhone, and my face is wet with tears.
Yeah. Can I tell you what my day was today?
Yes.
You and I recorded. I got up. I looked after my child. Then you and I recorded a little sister little episode for our
hit, which is my fault.
Smash Patreon.
We usually record this podcast on Thursday evenings, but I had to work into the evening on Thursday, so yeah. We pushed it to Saturday.
A little double record. We recorded a little sister little episode on Saturday, as is our wont, and then just as I was getting out of the little sister, Sarah yelled for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And came out, and Cyril, who was supposed to be in his nap, was standing right outside of the recording studio, and he looks at me and he goes,
fun surprise.
Yeah, fun surprise. And he was smiling, and he goes, I hurt my foot. And I was like, okay. And then he does this like fake cry where he goes, wah, 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 like an actual fake cry. And he's like smiling and he's like, I hurt my foot. And I was like, did Cyril hurt his foot? And then I like peeked around the corner and Sarah was like standing on one leg and she was like, no, I hurt my foot. And Cyril had just been like fucking mocking her. And what had happened was
that's cool as hell.
Instead of doing nap time, Cyril pooped his pants.
Yes, perfect.
And screamed for mama. And while she was running to deal with it, she slipped on one of his Legos and twisted her ankle.
Okay. And did she go to the hospital? That's a bad time to go to the hospital.
I was like, let's not. But instead, what we can do is we'll put on Robin Hood, which Cyril likes to watch. And yeah. I will sit in the other room and read Sunny Book 3 and fucking weep for 2 straight hours.
It sounds like it was a perfect afternoon.
It was a perfect afternoon. It was like, I swear to God, like I kept occasionally Sarah would be like, hey, can you like get me an ice pack? And I would come out just like tears streaming down my cheeks. I like kind of had lost all sense of reality because it was like Sarah was having a crisis and I felt like I was having a crisis just like from the trauma of reading this book. And, like,
it was a fucking brutal book.
Yeah.
And like I have read a lot of books.
Yeah.
And I've read a lot about death in my time. But I don't know if I've ever read as, like...
It's just relentless.
Visceral.
Yeah.
Of, like, an account of someone's dying as this. It was, like, excruciating point by point, like, final days, hours, and minutes of someone's life. And it was just like, ugh.
Yeah. This...
I'm so uncomfortable.
This book reminded me of 3 specific things. The first was sitting with my aunt at her deathbed.
Yeah.
The second was my grandmother's funeral. And the third was my grandfather's funeral.
Yeah.
And those were like, that's like the basically where my head was at throughout this entire fucking brutal novel. I thought that we were going to have, I was like, I assume that Miss Winslow was going to die in these novels. I can reveal now that I have enough prescience to get where that was going. And I thought we were going to have fun kind of around it as one of the events in the book that was sad, but we would talk about like do goof 'em ups about like the concert they go to or like, oh, Ducky got drunk. But no, this was just her death was the whole book. And then funeral.
Death. Well, and it's not our fault entirely that we thought there would be some more fun to be had in the book.
Yeah. And should we talk about this?
We thought there would be some other kind of stuff that happens before the death, but it's really just the death.
Yeah.
And the funeral, yes. And then the funeral as well.
Shall we talk about the crime that was committed against us and the fucking... Basically the war that has been started. It was a brewing, it was a cold war, and now it's a fucking war.
Yeah.
Should we talk about
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I will say this. I told my wife about the situation that we're in.
Okay. So you went straight to the top.
Well, I had to tell someone.
Yeah.
And she was like, you honestly should reach out to them and be like,
reach out.
This is unacceptable.
Reach out.
And what I said to her was like, I do not want to put the wheels in motion.
Yeah.
Wherein an unnamed offender.
Yep.
And the Scholastic Liars.
Yeah. Get together.
Shut down our entire podcast. Because we complained about how bad Orem is.
Orem.
At their fucking jobs.
Ugh!
Baby Nation, Riddle Babies, my so-called babies.
Everyone. Super Babies.
Super Babies.
Straw Babies.
Straw Babies. Elite Babies. Was there another one?
Baby Babies?
Baby Babies.
Yep.
Adult Babies. It often seems like we are making things up. And that we are kind of like finding something in nothing. And we're kind of like overly focused or overly worked up about something that happens in the show. And then that stuff will slowly kind of come out over the course of the series as being true. And we are right and our instincts were right. And early in the books, in the California Diary books, Jack and I took a stand against Orem, Open Road Integrated Media.
Yeah.
Because we thought they were doing...
They were doing us a disservice.
Shoddy work.
Yep.
And that shoddy work was mostly harmless. A missing image here or there. These weird glyphs added in. Things like that.
Well, or so it seemed.
Or so it seemed.
But it was malicious and it was directed at us, wasn't it?
I think so. I think so.
They got us. And you know who fucking saved us? A fucking baby baby. A baby baby bee saved us. Baby bee Megan. Thank God. She saved our fucking lives.
Megan saved our lives because I started reading this book this week, Sunny, book 3.
Yes.
And Sunny was going on and on about how she and Dawn made up and how she and Ducky were in a fight because she said something rude to Ducky at the concert. And I thought, that's funny. I wonder if we got the books out of order. And I texted you.
Yeah.
I texted you in a panic and I was like, listen, I'm a third of the way into this book. And
there's all sorts of shit that happened.
Stuff is happening that hasn't happened for us yet. And I think we're out of order.
Yeah.
I think maybe Ducky book 3 comes first or something. And then I'd started doing some snooping, some super sleuthing.
Yeah. You cracked the case.
I cracked the case.
Yeah.
And I discovered, thanks to a blog called like Babysitter's Club Snark or something like that, that the Dawn book 3 that we read
does not end where Orem ended it for us.
Does not end where Orem ended it. Anne and Pete intended to deliver more message to us.
But Orem didn't want us. So let's talk about what... Let's first of all say thank you...
Or Gene, or I don't know who wrote it.
We'll say thank you to Baby B. Megan, who by chance, when we first started doing the California Diaries, sent us a very nice email saying, I happen to have all of these books on PDF, and I will share them with you.
Legally, I assume.
Yes, she said she went and bought them from the PDF store. And... Yes.
She said, I will share them with you, but...
But legally,
you do need to go and pay the PDF store
just,
from
Yes. That's and we did. And a lot of money changed hands.
Yeah.
And I was able to refer to the only actual existing copy of Dawn Book 3, the way Anne wanted it written, which is, it so happens that Baby B. Megan is the only person who has it. Because what Orem wants us to know is the first two-thirds of Dawn Book 3, and she doesn't want us to know what happened at the Jack's concert, does she?
Interesting that you have labeled Orem as she.
Have I?
Yes.
That's worrying, isn't it?
It is worrying.
Mm, interesting. It's like Shelob.
I would say they.
Okay, they. Okay.
Because it's like a multi-person entity.
Okay.
But you've really focused your anger and rage on a she.
On one person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I see the entity as a she. It's like when you name boats.
Yes. Or when you name Shelob.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a Rider Haggard book called She Who Must Not Be Named. And I think that's
a Green Day song.
Yeah, and a Green
Day
song. Yeah.
She screams inside.
And both of those are about Orem.
Yeah.
And What Orem didn't want us to know about is what happened at the Jax concert. And so I was just editing the episode, which everyone will have heard last Monday. But there's like a bunch of parts of the episode where you and I are like, it's weird. Really nothing happens in this book. It's honestly, it's just like Dawn is worried that Sunny and her are going to have an altercation on the way to the concert, and she's excited about the concert, but it just ends before either of those things happen.
Yeah.
It's impressive that we got like an hour and 20 minutes of conversation out about it.
I have since read, well, so I went to iBooks and looked, and of course my copy was incomplete. I went to Kindle and I repurchased the book.
Yeah.
And that's another fucking $2.99 in Orm's grubby little pocket.
Yeah.
And that one also ends with,
it ends at the moment he's here. So maybe that's Orem is telling us something. He's here.
Interesting.
So maybe it's a cry for help from them. Like they're trying to get these books out, like without the Leviathan knowing about it.
Victim blaming.
You know, and they're like, let's get these books out to the public. They need to know. The Leviathan will never find out that we're doing this.
Well, and this would be the first time because of those like pole axes.
Oh, the pole axes. That's right.
Maybe the missing images are part of this message as well.
He's here. He's coming. Okay. That's now I feel bad because we've been talking so much smack.
David Levithan.
And it's David Levithan. It just came out with a book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go pick it up. I haven't read it. Have you?
I haven't. He did do an event in Austin, and I was too scared to go and talk to him.
He did politely decline us several times for several requests.
He was very nice to us.
Yeah, everyone's very nice to us.
Yeah, everyone's very nice to us. Except, well, I don't... So Orem, now it's a mystery, because I wanted to... I just felt all of the anger and the rage seep out of me, because she's just trying to fucking protect us, and it's the Leviathan.
I'm still mad at her.
Okay. Okay.
I think Orem really fucked us, because not only... This week's book was long.
But so we had to read double time.
And then
time.
I also had to read 30 extra pages of the Dawn book, which I did read, and it was great.
But the Jax concert was fucking amazing. They like fucking...
Should we do a quick
recap?
Actually, I'm going to hang up the phone really quickly. Okay. The call.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
If you can call me and do like a very quick voicemail.
Okay, great.
Just kind of recapping the 30
Okay,
pages
you don't want to just...
Of the
talk
Dawn
about
book,
it. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. All right, that seems
okay,
fine.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, you've reached Tanner. Leave a message at the beep and I'll... Mom! I'm on the phone!
Hey, Tanner. I forgot to tell you about a bunch of stuff that happened to Dawn and Sunny last week, weirdly. Dawn and Sunny did go to the Jax concert. I think I said that they didn't, and I just want to apologize for that. They went to the Jax concert, and Ducky drove them, and Sunny was being really unpleasant the whole way. And then when they got there, Sunny got super drunk, and she made Ducky get super drunk. And then Ducky was too drunk to drive them back, and Sunny was unbelievably unpleasant about it. And Dawn had to call her dad to bring them back, and he was super furious, and Sunny went home by herself on the bus. And then they did eventually make up, and they hugged, and Sunny said she was sorry, but she was mad at Ducky.
Dawn and Sunny did. Sorry, I picked up the phone because I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you for picking up. And I guess, you know what I'm realizing? I could have just told you that stuff.
Sunny and Ducky are still fighting, but we should hang up the call here.
Oh, because it's still recording.
It's still recording, yeah.
Okay.
And we should move back over to the podcast.
I'll talk to you at school tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So yeah, Orem, thanks Orem.
Yeah, thanks for that, Orem.
It was really nice having that context coming into this book that was already so unsettling.
Fucking brutal. The book was brutal. The words on the front of Sunny's diary are just cry. And that is what I did during this novel. And Tanner, we have a segment about it. It's called What's on Your Diary?
Oh, gosh, I was yawning. Can we take another run at it?
Sure. What's on your diary?
What's on your tombstone?
Yeah. And the way that we do this is we say what would be on our diary, and I've got a pretty quick, simple one for this one, Tanner.
Okay.
So the words on Sonny's diary are...
Just cry.
Just cry. And just, as you know, is a Radiohead song. And cry is something you do when you're sad. So I'm pretty certain that what would be the words that would be on the cover of my diary or tombstone, pizza... would be Paranoid Android, Watch One Fine Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was thinking
one
about...
One Fine Day?
Yeah.
The George Clooney...
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer rom-com.
Yeah. And it's a fucking masterpiece. And it's what I like to do when I'm sad.
Okay.
It's a... Do you know this one?
The One Fine Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it.
It's so good.
I don't know if I can remember much of the plot.
Could I change it? Could I change my title?
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay, so there's a Radiohead song off... Paranoid Android is more well-known, but there's a Radiohead song off the album Pablo Honey that is How Do You? So my book is How Do You Watch One Fine Day? And the answer is, I think it's on Hulu.
Okay.
And then it's like informative.
How do you watch One Fine Day?
How do you
on Hulu.
Watch One Fine Day? And no, and that inside, that's what I kind of tell people about in the book.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's nice, and it's then you know something that you can do when you cry. It's more useful. What Sonny is telling us to do is just cry. What I'm saying is practical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's on Hulu. Correct. I'm apologies if it's not on Hulu. It's on something.
I'll go check.
I did watch it recently. I rewatched it recently. It's a great movie. You know the one? They switch each other's kids.
It's the one with George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
Yeah, George Clooney's like a man-child, but he's like a handsome journalist.
Yeah, it is on... Oh, sorry, it's on HBO.
It's on HBO, okay.
Which you can see through Hulu if you have the HBO.
There it is. So, and that's the answer, and that's a lot of the content of the book. How do you watch One Fine Day? And I guess you do want to purchase my novel.
Okay, so I am at the hospital.
Okay.
And I am there to visit Elizabeth
Winslow. Yes, okay. I guess it's not long for this world.
She is dying.
Yeah.
And I get there and I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't bring anything.
Yeah.
I should run to the gift shop.
Yeah.
I should get something for her.
That's great.
And I go down there and I'm just like, well, she's going to be here for a while. She is dying.
Yeah. We know she likes Salinger.
We know she likes Salinger.
Yeah.
Because she, her daughter, Sunny, does read.
Well, Dawn. Which book? Dawn reads Franny and Zoe.
Oh, Dawn does.
So there's there's Raise High the Roof Beams. There's Nine Stories. Catcher in the Rye.
They have a lot of Salinger.
They got a lot of Salinger in the hospital gift shop. Yeah.
Wow. And then I'm like, pick up a copy of Raise the Roof High.
Mm-hmm. Raise High the Roof Beans Carpenters.
Raise High the Roof Beans Ye Carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
And behind it is this other book.
Yeah. It's a dusty old copy, but it looks interesting. And it's me. I guess it's like kind of stylized, and I'm like putting a VHS into a what do you call them? VCR.
Hulu.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's stylized.
Yeah.
Yeah. and I'm sad.
You're sad. And it's not something you can see visually, but it is clear from the image that you are listening to
Radio
the Radiohead song.
Maybe I've got a Pablo Honey shirt on.
How Do You?
How Do You? Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's a pretty unloved song off of Pablo Honey.
By me especially.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it says Jack.
Yeah.
Volume
3.
3?
Book. Jack Book 12, Volume 3.
Book 12, Volume 3.
How Do You?
How Do You?
Watch One Fine Day. Yeah.
I am like, huh, interesting. And I open it up and it says, it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
That's like the dedication.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
What am I thinking?
For Miss Winslow, do not choose wrong here. This is really the last chance you're going to have to get her something nice.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. I know she likes Salinger.
Yeah.
Can I ask if are there any other books in the gift shop, do you think?
Who Moved My Cheese?
Who Moved My Cheese is there?
Yeah.
Golly, that makes it even harder. That makes the decision even harder.
Yeah.
I'll pick up Jack.
Okay.
I'll pick up Jack.
Oh, and Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl is in there.
That sounds pretty dark for someone who's about to die.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. So you're picking up Jack. That's great.
Yeah. I just want to give her something a little fun, a little easy, you know?
Not regret it, I promise you. What do you think would be on your diary?
Well, I only know one Radiohead song, and it's Creep, so...
Okay. Okay, and what's something you do when you are sad?
I would say play 10 hours of video games and smoke weed.
Okay. Okay. All right. So and it's Tanner. So what's happening to me is I'm about to ride the subway.
Okay. That's not a good idea right now.
And a religious zealot is handing out pamphlets. And
okay.
I'm just waiting for, I feel something. I feel like this isn't just like your standard run-of-the-mill religious zealot handing out pamphlets in the subway. There's like a glow, there's like an aura, and there's like, I feel like I'm gonna learn something.
It's sort of like a 90s music video, yeah, where like the unassuming homeless man handing out pamphlets,
it's a wise,
like,
figure.
Crazy,
yeah,
is actually like,
yeah,
God.
Yes, exactly, yeah, you can tell. And it's like everything's in, like, all the other people are moving fast around him.
Yep.
You know, like, in fast, in a blur, but like for me and him, it's like slow motion.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's like a connection. I see the glow and I see the beauty in it, in this person. And I'm like, wow, this person has something to teach me. And laid out on his table in front of him are a number of great works.
Okay.
There's the Bible. There's,
yeah. Well, you said great work, so I assume Who Moved My Cheese.
Who Moved My Cheese, obviously. The Christian Bible, the Quran, there's the Torah, and a number of other great works. The works of Confucius are laid out there. And in the center of all these great volumes is a thin paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a picture of you smoking weed and playing video games.
Yeah.
And it says...
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay. It says, Creep, smoke weed and play video games all day.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even on the table. It's in the homeless guy's pocket.
Yeah.
You can kind of see it hanging out. And it's like,
yeah,
the Dalai Lama test.
Yeah.
Where you have to pick an object from the previous Dalai Lama to prove you're the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, and I do grab that from him, and he looks surprised. But as I'm, yeah, like running to catch my subway with the book, I turn around and I say, like, thank you, thank you.
You turn around and you say thank you, and all that's there is a single white dove.
Wow!
And it takes flight.
That's beautiful. Okay, that's fun. And that's how we do our diary segment.
That's how we do the diary segment, yes.
Is there anything else to talk about other than the death of Sonny's mom, which is the only thing that does kind of slowly happen in this book, throughout the book?
I guess just because, like, tonally, it would be weird to do it later.
Yeah. And it's where we do a fun burn, isn't it?
It is. Did you even have one?
Yeah, I got one. Let's see what it is. It's so Sonny's mom, as one of her last acts, gives Sonny her diaries.
Diaries, yes.
From her life. Wow, I'm just realizing it's like diaries within diaries within diaries, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
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 And Sonny reads her mom's diaries to like get to know her, because her mom realizes she had been estranged from her parents because they were like super conservative and she was a peacenik. This is some stuff we learned from the diaries. And it becomes clear that Sonny's mom always regretted that she didn't have her parents there to go to during important moments in her life. And she's yep. realizing that she's not going to be there for Sonny. And so what better way to
Oh, and her parents died in a car crash.
Oh, and then they did die in a horrible car crash. This is a fun book. It really is.
She was estranged from her parents. Yeah. And then when she was going to reach out, she like was going to invite them to the wedding.
Yeah. And then they died in a horrible car
crash. But they died in a car crash.
And this is her way of saying that she'll always be there for Sonny, because Sonny can.
And like, you are setting up a burn, right?
Consult the diaries, yeah. And
because so far you've talked about multiple parent deaths.
Yeah, you can't walk across the room that is this book without stepping yeah. in one or two parent deaths on the way.
Yeah,
and twisting your ankle. The burn is as follows. It's from Miss Winslow's diary when she's a young lady around the age that Sonny is at the time of this novel. And Miss Winslow writes, "Very late at night. The party didn't end until almost midnight. I have reached a decision. Boys are disgusting. They should not be allowed out of their cages until their voices have changed and they can dress and speak properly. Unless they are Kevin Darcy." And I guess it's a burn on everyone who's not Kevin Darcy.
Kevin Darcy.
Yeah.
I'm worried that I'm not going to be allowed out of my cage, because I am 36 years old, but I'm not sure like
that your voice has changed.
I guarantee you, if you went and listened to a recording of like a 12-year-old Tanner, he wouldn't sound like I sound now.
But pretty similar.
But I don't think it was that dissimilar. Yeah, I think like the change in my voice happened so subtly and over such a long period of time that it was rendered essentially unnoticeable. And I'm on Kevin Darcy's Twitter account.
Okay.
He plays for Everton.
If he plays for Everton, he's a football player.
Potentially, yes.
Life is precious every day to the full. I think he's an Everton fan.
But there's a picture here of...
Yeah, but he's not wearing a Everton uniform. It says Darcy on it.
Well, that's his name. Have you ever seen a sports uniform, Jack? They have the guy's name on it.
Not where the name of the team should be.
Okay. I don't watch football. I don't know. You have to tell me.
He's an Everton fan, and everyone should not follow him on Twitter.
I wouldn't not. You're saying to not?
No, I'm saying just like, oh, he's tweeted a very interesting snooker trick shot, which I do find interesting.
Okay, so everyone go throw him a follow.
And he is
the
only
one guy.
He's not allowed out of his cage, so he's probably fielding a lot of requests from the ladies. Or gentlemen,
yeah. He's the only one allowed out of his cage, so it's slim pickings out here.
I'm coming out of my cage, and I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, and despite all my rage,
yeah,
I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Yeah, and that's my burn. It's funny. It was a funny one. I found one funny burn in this book. Pretty impressive.
One funny burn, yeah.
You said you had a burn that's on a lady with senile dementia.
I did. I found a new one, though.
Okay.
While we were talking.
What's your burn?
So my burn is, the sequence of events were that Cyril Morgan Shepherd was supposed to be napping, and he pooped his pants instead.
Yeah.
And then when Morgan went to go take care of him, she slipped on a toy of his and badly sprained her ankle.
Yeah.
And managed to get him out of his crib and cleaned up on a badly sprained ankle and was calling for her husband.
Yeah.
And he was being shitty about it.
Yeah, it's like slow to react. Like, what? I'm busy.
And then when he did come out and interact with the boy, Cyril Morgan Shepherd, he had a really great burn. He said, I hurt my ankle.
Yeah, yeah. That was funny.
And the burn was on.
And I was like, you don't seem like your ankle. And Sarah's like, no, it was me. Oh, and that was Dad Talk.
It was Dad Talk. And it was my burn. Yeah. And my other burn was on Jamie and Ben, whose elderly mother can't remember them anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the Penny story. Dawn, at some point when she's initially trying to comfort Sunny before Miss Winslow has died, she says to Sunny, like, remember the day of the pennies. And Sunny's like, I don't want to talk about it now. And then after Miss Winslow's funeral, Sunny is like, let's talk about the pennies now. And I was like, oh, great. Like, finally, a moment of respite from all of the fucking sadness.
Right.
And the day of the pennies is like this story of like a young Miss Winslow taking Dawn and Sunny out to the park with a bag of pennies, and they leave pennies on the floor all over the park and then sit and watch people pick them up. And Miss Winslow is like, it's like leaving a wish. And then like this one lady picks up a bunch of them. And before she picks them up, she has a conversation with her husband in a way that seems like she doesn't remember their two children.
Right.
And
Ben and Jamie.
But she's super happy that she picked up three pennies. She's like, that was a three penny day. And Dawn is like, what was going on there? And Miss Winslow is like, oh, she doesn't remember her children, but we did bring her some small amount of joy.
Right.
With the pennies. And thanks for that break from the horror of this text, Anne.
We had a moment to catch our breaths from all the parent death.
Yeah.
By thinking about and confronting parent Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And so much fun. God, thank you, Anne.
Yeah, and I do want to thank Anne, and I want to thank Orem and Pete and the Leviathan and everyone who's kind of been involved in this, because it's just what I needed today.
So fun, and yeah. I love it, and I love to think about it.
Yeah. Let's take a break thank and then you. Talk more about how... Oh, did you hear that Sunny Winslow's mom died over the course of a number of months and then days, and then did die, and then there was a funeral?
And then hours, which were excruciatingly detailed in this book. Yeah, I did hear about that.
Let's dive into that when we come back from a break.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hi all, it's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey, but Tanner has actually, and this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick them up.
Hey, Tanner.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, bud, how's it going?
It's going good, I guess.
Great. I cried a lot today, and I'm not crying now, and so it's an improvement.
You're not crying now yet.
Not crying now yet. Here's a fun, I got a couple fun kind of 90s references from this book that I thought you might enjoy that we could have a chuckle over.
Okay.
The first is when Sunny is sort of confronted the fact that her mom only has 2 days to live. The doctor says, like, it's I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't last out the night, but she probably has 2 days at the most, and so you should like kind of get everyone to who wants to say goodbye to her to come and like say goodbye.
Right.
And Sunny says, "Oh my God, this is awful. I'm still not ready. I feel like praying. I haven't prayed since I was a little kid. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before, oh God, I never paid much attention to that before. It's horrible." And I thought it was cool that Sunny sings Metallica to herself when she said,
"Oh, that is cool."
Yeah.
That is cool.
Tonight. It's pretty, it's dark, but it's cool. She's like, what would a James Hetfield do? You know?
We should all ask ourselves that.
And then here's another fun one that's just kind of like light and breezy and I thought was like pretty fun. It's when, so like towards the end of Miss Winslow's life, when she really, the minutes are ticking by, she's able to take like a new medication that gives her just like a few minutes of lucidity away from the pain.
Yes.
So that she can like say her last goodbyes.
Yep.
And then so what she says to Sunny during that when she's like kind of basically saying goodbye to Sunny, she says goodbye to Sunny a number of times, but during this particular goodbye, she says, "You were a great baby," Mom went on. "The best. Ideal. Like a baby out of a fairy tale. Your dad and I were in love with each other and in love with you. Sometimes we would say, how can two people be so lucky? We lead charmed lives." I marveled that Mom could say this. Does she still think she has led a charmed life? And the answer is no. She's led a semi-charmed kind of life.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fun, too.
Something else.
Yeah, and I think
it's
morphine.
This. And it's morphine because, well, actually, morphine stopped working because her pain was too intense.
But yeah, it's like it's probably like some kind of
pain, or something,
strong.
Whatever.
Yeah. Dilaudid.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. Those were fun, kind of 90s adjacent, because we like to have fun with like the 90s.
It worries me because my baby's so great.
Yeah.
And just like easy, fun, exciting. I love seeing him. I love hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And now am I going to die of cancer slowly and painfully?
Oh, because you feel like you have a charmed life, and most people do end up having a semi-charmed kind of life.
Okay. Am I getting a little bit too much now, and it's going to like catch up with me later? Because that's what happened to Mrs. Winslow.
Yeah.
So do I have to worry about that? I don't know. Sounds like cereal's pretty rotten, so it's like you're...
it's a fucking nightmare. I was trying to like formulate.
So you're probably fine.
I think I'm good. I think I paid my dues.
Huh. Okay. Well, something for me to worry about.
Here's another, while we're on the topic of music.
Yes. And we were.
We're talking about Metallica, we're talking about Semi-Charmed Life.
Right.
We're talking about
Third Eye Blind.
And bless her fucking heart. Anne doesn't, she like keeps it close to the chest. For instance, I could have used a fucking happy reading.
Oh, you know? Gosh. I guess I forgot that they existed, and I guess I forgot how much I missed that presence and that kind of debrief.
I genuinely thought about it. I was like, it is not an exaggeration. My so-called babies, Tanner and I, are being flippant because we have no other way to be. This book, like, fucking broke me.
Yeah, it was
bad. It was fucking genuinely,
it was a great
very
book,
intense. But I thought it was fantastic.
It was very sad.
And I was, I'm like tearing up now, honestly, thinking about the experience of reading this book. But one of the things that I thought while I was reading the book was like, was that. I was like, I wish Anne would like, because I felt so personal. I think that's why. It felt so personal that it was like, Anne must be drawing from experience here. It, like, it feels real. And it did, like, genuinely remind me of the times that I've been adjacent to death and, like, had people who I love die.
I've never been this adjacent to death. And it was jarring and shocking to hear, like, Sonny's mom's, like, final moments. And it was especially jarring and shocking because it was, like, it just fucking went on and on and on.
It's just the whole book. There's no respite from it. And it felt so real that I do think that Anne must have been like, it's very well written. And I imagine that she's like, she did a lot of research and also like drew from personal experience. And it made me wish for a happy reading. But she is also like not someone who reveals much about herself. But this passage in the book, I was like, I think this is Anne like just being Anne. I'll read it. It's Sonny again. Sorry, every like fun passage that I read is introduced by like just to set it up. It's when they're talking about whether Sonny's mom is going to die today or
maybe tomorrow or maybe the next day.
And Sonny says, "Can it be that she'll make it through today and tomorrow as well?" I'm thinking of the Katie Lang song, the one about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's called 3 Days. In the song, the 3 days are unbearable, but they're all I wish for mom. I wonder, will she have her 3 days after all? I did listen to the Katie Lang song, and it's like pretty upbeat.
3 days that I dread to see your eyes. 3 days that I hate to be alive.
But it was just like, Sonny did not think of the Katie Lang song 3 days in this moment.
And thought of it. It reminded me of the song 1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
Would my mom have 1 week? Would she eat the chicken in China? The Chinese chicken?
I would like to bet with some degree of confidence that Anne is a Katie Lang fan.
Oh, I am certain Anne is a Katie Lang fan.
Like, I'm like, good for her. Katie Lang fucking rules. But it was a very much like, I was like, this is not like, Sonny listens to fucking like Our Lady Peace, you know? Yeah. Like,
we know a few things about Anne. We know that she's openly gay. So
yes, yes.
Hard check in the listens
lesbian
to Katie
Lang. Lesbian icon
Lang.
Of the 90s. Yeah, yeah.
We know that she came to age in the 90s.
But it's also like a Katie Lang has like a Anne vibe too. It feels like a perfect match. Anyway, if you don't like Katie Lang, I will eat my hat.
What are some Katie Lang songs I would know? My mom listened to it.
The only one I know is Constant Craving. Constant Craving. We'll play a clip of that. I guess we probably played a clip of 3 days, but fuck it. Katie Lang rules. And the song, do you know the song Constant Craving?
I don't think so.
I can't sing it. It's beautiful. But that was like the big fucking hit in the 90s that crossed my particular transit.
You vamp for a second. Sure. I'm going to just listen to this, the briefest moment of Constant Craving.
Okay, I do want you to hear it because it's like a really good song. And I wish that I could vamp better than I'm about to, but like that does just about come to the end of my Katie Lang knowledge. Is
oof, my computer
craving.
Cannot handle watching a Katie Lang video.
Yeah,
voice chatting with you and downloading the Hellraiser omnibus.
We talked about the Hellraiser. Tanner and I discovered the Hellraiser comic books in our Little Sister episode that we recorded earlier today, and he immediately downloaded the entire series of graphic novels, so expect more.
I know this song.
It's gorgeous.
Constant
craving
has always been. Okay, thank you
good,
for vamping.
Right?
Yes.
And that's... That's that.
All my notes left are just the most excruciating, tearful moments, and I don't think it's going to be fun to discuss or read on the air. So I'm on the SS Jack now, just on a Jack journey.
What are things that aren't sad? Yeah, I can't. I was like looking over during the break. I was looking over my tearful moments, which are like fucking copious.
Yeah.
They're just like, at first I didn't capture them, like when I cried, because I was like, this is just like, it just like doesn't end. There's not like a point at which it ends. Yeah. And then when I did capture them, it's just like, it's what you would expect. It's just like the fucking, like the horror of this family, like losing their like young mother.
I was on a simmer the entire time, just sort of like constantly crying. But I told you this a moment ago on the break that like I captured tearful moments when I like literally
sobbed. Like, here's what we can talk about without reading passages is I'll tell you a few that like jumped out at me that were just like particularly poignant. There's one thing where like people are coming to say goodbye and this lady shows up and it's Liz, and Sonny's like, who's Liz? And Sonny's dad is like, oh, Liz is your mother's like childhood friend. They haven't seen each other in like a decade, but like Liz just shows up and then like says goodbye. She like probably flew in from some other state, and then later Liz sings the solo of Amazing Grace at Miss Winslow's funeral, and like everyone's losing it, but Liz manages to get through it, and it's like, Jesus fuck,
that also feels a little too real.
what the hell It's fucking brutal. So that like stuff like that got me. Like her sister is there. Betsy's Winslow's sister is there the
her
whole time.
Her name is Morgan. Yeah, she flew in from Atlanta, and she is a little more buttoned up than the Winslows.
She's a little more buttoned up, but that's like the discovery of her as a person is pretty powerful. Where it's like, oh, like Sonny realizes that she's only ever seen her like in a fucking crisis.
It was a lot of dad stuff for me.
There's a lot of dad stuff. There's
Mr. Winslow breaking down made me break down a lot.
He fucking loses it. And it's actually a really well-written scene where, like, he speaks at the funeral. And Sonny is, like, the way she describes it, she's like, the fucking hashtag, like, cringiest shit happened. And, like,
my dad cried at his wife's funeral.
But, like, I found that relatable because I've definitely been her age and, like, not gotten that, like, adults, like, you get a pass for, like, breaking down. It's certain, like, it's easy to think that it's, like, to be, like, if you're young, you might well get, like, overwhelmed by the, like, hashtag cringe of it.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, come on, dad. And she's like, I don't understand why the minister didn't just drag him away from the podium, but like he wanted to speak more, but he couldn't.
Right.
And it's like, no, the thing, Sonny, is that like everybody here gets it.
Yeah.
Like, and they want that for him. Like, Jesus. Fuck, man. Fuck you, and you know what? Maybe Orym is just trying to shield us from this shit. Orym was like, if I don't give them the rest of Dawn Book 3, maybe they'll just give up.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, I guess the book's ended here.
Yeah.
And
trying to fucking protect.
You know what surprises me? We still have 3 fucking books to read, Jack. What could possibly happen from here on out? We have Amalia Book 3, we have Maggie Book 3, and we have Ducky Book 3, and it's like all the crises have been met head on and dealt with. Like Alex,
well, they had this
is Alex attempted suicide and he's in an institution. Maggie realized that she had an eating disorder and confronted it.
Was getting help.
And Amalia like talked to her abusive boyfriend and like broke up with him.
Yeah.
Sonny's mom died.
We know what it is. Here's the cycle. And so there's this interesting moment in this book that I noted, and I'm sure Anne had been thinking about when she was like plotting this out, where it was like everybody except Jill shows up like the day after the funeral. It's Amalia, Ducky, Dawn, Sonny, and Maggie are all there. And Sonny's like, I'm surrounded by like all my
her cocoon.
Like beautiful friends in this cocoon, and like I don't deserve them. I tried to push them away, but they like wouldn't let me push them away. And she's like, and I realized that this was the first moment all of us had been together since that fucking shitty party at Miss Kruger's
right.
house. But it's like, so since the first book, they've not been all together, and now they've formed like fucking Voltron, and they're going to unleash that energy on the world for the next three books, and it's going to be wild.
I have no idea.
Except Jill. Except fucking Jill, by the way.
Jill is...
Fucking Jill.
Jill is worming her way back into at least Dawn's good graces.
A little bit.
Jill
but, like,
could be
Sunny's,
back in the mix. We don't know. And Sunny did blow up at Jill. I don't know what's going to happen in the next three books. I'm excited about it.
Well, I have another theory about these books, which is that Carol is the real hero of the books.
Carol Schaefer?
Yeah, Carol Schaefer. She's like the good one. She is always right.
She is always right. And it's weird that Anne and Orem insisted on making her the villain for so long and put us on our back foot with her.
Yeah, it took me a while to come around.
I distrust her. I still distrust her.
She's just cool.
She does.
She's cool. Also probably like our age. Like if we were in California Diaries right now, if we were in Palo City, like Carol would just be like our friend.
If I had a 13-year-old stepdaughter right now.
Yeah.
Or sorry, if I had a 13-year-old. Yeah. If I had a 13-year-old stepdaughter who had a best friend whose mother was dying, how would I handle it? Poorly.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I would handle it poorly, and I wouldn't be as open and understanding and helpful as Carol was to both Dawn
I don't know
and
how
Sunny.
To, yeah, I don't know how to be that way.
Like, Sunny would come over crying and be like, my mom is dying, and be like, oh, yikes.
Oof. Want to watch One Fine Day?
That stinks. My mom's healthy.
Actually, that might be nice. Yeah.
My mom's healthy, and I'm like three times your age, so ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Can I tell you, read you this passage, Tanner?
Yeah.
It should come as no surprise to you at this point, but who knows? Who knows? How could she start a sentence like that, says Sunny. Oh, sorry, just set it up. Sunny's mother is talking about how she wants Sunny to cope after her death.
Yep.
Yeah. How could she start a sentence like that? When I'm gone, Mom was saying, you and Dad take care of each other, okay? Okay, I whispered. You're going to need each other. I nodded. Then I realized Mom's eyes were shut again and she couldn't see me nod, so I whispered, yes. I'll say it less weird. So I whispered, yes. You'll have Grandma and Granddad, of course, and Dawn. But you and Dad, you'll have to take care of each
and
other.
Dong? It's a weird.
Yeah,
thing
I thought that was
to
weird too.
Deathbed.
I thought it was strange. And I don't. I wanted to kind of just like move past it because it's like, I'm sure there's something there.
You'll
that
have
I
Grandma
don't
and Granddad and Dong too.
And it says, and Dong. Yeah.
That's very weird.
That is weird. Well, she's probably delirious.
Yeah.
But you and Dad, you'll have to take care of each other. Soon, Dad stuck his head in the room again, and I wondered if he'd been listening at the door. I frowned at him. Dad, I began to say, oh, sorry. He pulled his head back like a turtle. And this huge feeling of disgust washed over me.
That would disgust me too, watching someone's head go into their body.
Watching their entire head just like
disappear into their torso.
Disappear through their neck into their chest cavity.
There's just like a little... Yeah. Tuft of hair sticking out where their head once
was. And they've got this little, like, this little weird smile that reaches. Oh, and they're green.
That is gross.
That is gross. But also, Anne does put turtles in these books at important moments, doesn't she?
Oh, gosh, doesn't she? And there's been a turtle in almost every single one, huh?
In almost every single book at a crucial moment. And Sunny's disgusted by it. Sunny rejects the turtle.
But Sunny is...
And she's pushing everyone away.
No.
Everyone who tries to help.
No. She's pulling everyone back in. Sunny is a model character now. Sunny has been challenging since the beginning, but now she's made amends with all her friends.
Yeah.
She's on the right path again, and all it took was her own mother dying.
Yeah.
And she's rejected the turtles.
So you think that James was right to throw rocks at the turtle? That's where you're going.
I'm starting to think that James is right to throw rocks at the turtles.
Great.
And maybe the turtles are bad.
Bad. Okay, well, we'll have plenty of opportunity to explore that in the next books. Now we're Teflon. You and I can't be, we're fucking Iron Man now. You can't take us down because we've seen the worst.
Yeah, Iron Man actually, do you have like a cast iron pan at home?
Yeah.
It is not very non-stick. Stuff does stick to it pretty badly.
Oh, stuff does stick to it.
So
okay, so we're more like Teflon.
We're more like Teflon. We're like Iron Man covered in Teflon.
Okay, we're like, okay, yes. And Teflon, I think, is pretty bad for you.
It might be bad for you. Maybe ceramic.
I think it's toxic.
We have
that would break, ceramic pan. That would break. Because I want to feel like we're unbreakable, but also like stuff doesn't stick to us. Like a duck.
Ducks are pretty. I could break a duck. I'm not a powerful man.
They're non-stick. You would agree that they're non-stick. Right?
But so is Teflon. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Okay.
But I could break a duck.
What I'm saying is that it's going to be hard to knock us off our pedestal in the coming books because we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Because I want to get it. Okay, so here let's work through this. Ducks, nothing sticks to them, but they're a little bit too easy to break.
Right.
Teflon, nothing sticks to it. And it's hard and hard to break.
Well, you said Iron Man.
It's toxic.
Right?
But you said iron stuff sticks to it.
Let's think about ducks.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's think about Iron Man. And what one character who we've discussed recently on this show.
Darkwing Duck. Darkwing Duck.
No. Close.
Darkwing Duck.
Close.
Oh, Gizmo.
Gizmo.
From DuckTales. Okay. That is the...
And maybe that's
the happy medium.
Are, right?
Okay, nothing sticks to him, and he's tough to break, right? Gizmo from DuckTales. Gizmo McQuack?
I'm looking it up.
Okay.
I'm glad we're in
the Duckiverse. Gizmo Duck, yeah.
Fenton Crackshell is sort of his nerdy alter ego, but he's Gizmo Duck.
But he's pretty powerful as Gizmo Duck.
He's
right?
like fucking Iron Man, and nothing sticks to him because he's a duck.
I think the DuckTales movie was centered around
him. Wearing diapers, which is weird.
I think that's just his duck butt. Ducks always look like they're wearing diapers.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I would love to, as an adult, I don't want to go watch DuckTales now as an adult because I don't think it's going to hold up.
Yeah.
But I would love to revisit this canon in some way because I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for Gizmo Duck right now, and I'm intrigued, and I would love to know more. Do you remember what the Mighty Ducks?
The cartoon?
The cartoon.
Yeah.
Where they were like space ducks.
They're actually ducks. Yeah.
That was cool.
It's fine. It's in the Duckiverse.
God, we had a lot of fun back then, huh?
There's nothing in the Duckiverse that I don't like. That's what I'll say.
What about the sexy Elvira duck?
That's fine. Count Duckula.
You like
it? I'm fine with. Yeah, I like it.
You're sexually attracted to the Elvira
duck? I didn't say that, and you tried to get me there, and I didn't. I just said that I like it.
I mean, what's the difference?
If you have to ask. Okay, now you're in the Duckiverse. I think I'm going to say too much for our podcast.
I'm sorry.
You're just like in the Duckiverse.
I'm
I can like hear stuff playing in the background.
Yeah.
You're like listening to duck-related content.
What was that sexy goth duck called? Sexy goth duck.
You're going to get arrested.
Her name was...
Brooklyn Man arrested for looking at sexy DuckTales content.
Magica Dispel.
Okay.
And she was from DuckTales. Okay. Ooh, yikes. You know, every now and then you'll come across something that makes it clear to you like how a lot of your sexuality and sexual interest was formed. Early on, and you didn't know at the time, obviously, right? But like now that you're a little older, you're like,
something woke up when I saw this.
Yeah.
And I now know what it's grown into.
Yeah.
And it's that for you. It's Magica Dispel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will be bookmarking this for later.
So now I know that you were just projecting.
I didn't even know I was projecting at the time.
Okay. Wow. Let's see. The only other thing I wanted to talk to you about before we leave, yep, unless you had something that you wanted to talk to me about that's not, I feel like we've covered the news of Sunny's mom's death.
Well, she died, and
she did die.
One sort of salient point I do want to get across to everyone is that she dies very slowly over the course of several days, and in the moment where she finally decides that she is dying, where she says, "This is it, I am dying," she pulls everyone into the room and has a conversation with each person. Mr. Schaefer, Sonny, and Aunt Morgan.
Yeah.
And then she pulls them all into the room and says, "This is it, like, goodbye."
Yeah.
And then takes 2.5 hours to die.
Yeah.
Of her just slowly and excruciatingly dying. And that
brutal.
Felt so real and scary and awful to me. And I was just like, I don't want this.
Yeah, they, like, no punches pulled. Like, I was expecting there to be like a maudlin moment, but Anne was like, no, like, this is how it is.
I'm going to describe to you the 2 hours in
which it's messy and it's sad.
Mrs. Winslow took to die, and you're going to hate it. And I did hate it, Anne. Thank you.
Yeah, I hated it. She gets a UU service. She goes to a Unitarian Universalist church for a funeral.
That must have been I appreciated Sarah very excited.
It did, but I also appreciated the props to the UU, and it makes me think that that's another Aunt. I feel like that's a, like Katie Lang, and I'm just speculating, but from what I know of Anne, I feel like Unitarian Universalist is like a pretty perfect fit for her.
One of the few churches that's like super openly accepting of the LGBT community.
Yeah, but also everybody.
Yeah.
And just like nice. And like Katie Langish.
Yeah, Katie Langish.
Like just like genuinely good.
Last time I was at a Universal Unitarian church, it was a friend of mine's child's christening. Or no, not christening.
Yeah.
Baptism.
Yeah.
And I dressed up, I put on like a suit and a tie, and there was a dude at this fucking baptism, if you can believe this.
Yeah.
Who was in like jorts.
Hell yeah.
And a t-shirt.
Hell yeah.
Can you believe
that? That could be me. Okay. I was like, wait a second. Dude. You're talking about my son's baptism?
Yes.
It was the dude.
It was
me.
You. Yeah.
That's the UU, man.
It takes all comers.
It's accepting of everybody. That's nice. You really walked me right into it. I was like, no, that tracks. Props to the UU. Good people. The only thing I do want to talk about before we leave is Quilt Man.
Okay. Did you say Quail Man from Doug?
Quilt Man.
What are you saying? Quail Man?
Quilt. Quilt Man.
Quilt Man. Quilt.
Quilt Man.
Okay.
This is, again, Sunny's having horrible nightmares because her mom is dying.
Mm.
Whoa. I just woke up from the most horrible dream. I was in my bedroom, and somehow I knew that a man was trying to get into my room. He was on the other side of my door holding a huge quilt, and he planned to smother me with the quilt. I could hear him rattling the door handle. And I just think the Quilt Man is an interesting character, especially since we know that Mrs. Kruger is in these books.
I think
that
the Quilt Man is death.
That's broadly what I think as well. That is what I think. And in the Sitters universe, death comes in the form of the Quilt Man.
The Quilt Man. And he was there to get...
It's patchwork.
Mrs.
A patchwork
Winslow.
Of every soul. It's a patchwork of every soul on the quilt that he takes,
he
right?
He was there to add Mrs. Winslow to his grand tapestry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he got the wrong door.
Okay. Yeah, because he's got a quilt over his head.
Yeah. And is
That's
it...
That's scary. Yeah.
Are there wangs of just right there on the tip of your tongue?
Mm-hmm.
the 1992 graphic adventure game Loom in here.
Okay, and it's the Great Tapestry.
Because we know Anne is as informed, at least to some degree.
Well, are our lives and fate sewn up in the Great Tapestry in Loom?
Yes. Have you ever played Loom?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, they are.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And you should
right.
play it. It's a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. LucasArts, right?
LucasArts Adventure Game. Yeah. 99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting.
That's something. Okay. So the Quilt Man will come for us all. And that's an interesting piece of lore.
It's nicer than Death in the Scythe. Because, like, that sounds scary. That sounds scary
and
for someone.
And he sews you into his quilt.
Hooded specter, skeletal yeah. specter coming into my home late at night to chop me up with his scythe and take me to hell.
Yeah.
That's
instead,
bad.
It's like a nice, it's a nice man with a beautiful quilt.
That I get like,
that
it's so
that
cozy.
That he's going to smother you with.
And he just like,
okay, yeah.
he weaves me into his tapestry and I'm part of the grand yeah. quilt. That sounds nice.
That is nice. That is nice. Here's my amateur dream analysis. It's her guilt. It's guilt.
Oh, because it rhymes with quilt?
It's not just rhymes with quilt. It's like, there's no other word. That is more like quilt.
Built.
Built. Fuck you.
Stilt.
No, B-U-I-L-T, not S-T-U-I. There's built, quilt, and guilt are fucking around with that U-I.
Yeah.
In a way that almost nothing
I got
to
built very quickly and easily, though.
You did get to built pretty quickly. All right, your thing is right. And I mean, the quilt man mythology is right. And my stupid fucking Freudian analysis that in fact she was thinking of her own guilt and she was worried about being smothered by her own guilt about not doing enough for her mom in her final days is definitely not what's going on there. What is definitely going on there is that Mrs. Krueger has opened the doors to another dimension and death in the form of the quilt man who sews us all into his great tapestry has accidentally knocked on the wrong bedroom.
He's thrown off his game.
He's thrown off
because he was
game.
Brought into yeah. our world prematurely yeah. by Mrs. Right. Krueger.
Yeah, Sonny's teacher
and
who
Freddy
is
Krueger's
married
wife.
To Freddy Krueger. Yeah. Tanner, what I'd love to do is leave and go. Okay. I would like to thank you very much for bearing with
You're
me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank my so-called babies for bearing with us.
You're welcome.
If you read this book,
I did.
As many do in anticipation of listening to the episode, I would love to commiserate with you now in this moment. I share my commiseration with you. That's fucking sucked. It was a pretty brutal read.
It sucked. And also, I'm sorry about Orym.
And I'm sorry about
I'm sorry about what they did to us.
I'm sorry about what she did to us. And
yes,
we have a few more books left to figure out what we're going to do to Orym. How we're going to repay them for the fucking service that they've done to us.
A holy, righteous yeah. war
yes.
that we will bring upon them.
Yeah. And I think they're probably going to rue the day.
They'll rue the day. Oh,
they'll rue
the day. Yes.
They'll rue the day. Mark my words. What I would like to say is that this week we read a novel that was called California Diaries Number 12, Sunny, Diary 3. Just cry. And next week, we're going to be reading a little novel called California Diaries Number 13, Maggie, Diary 3, Life, Camera, Action.
Sorry, did you say Light, Camera, Action?
Life.
Whoa. That life. Is a pretty wild play on words.
This one ends with death, and the next one starts with life.
Oh, Maggie gets
we're
pregnant.
On the way back, people. No, I don't think so.
I don't know. You're confusing me with your messages. Or Anne is. I don't know. Or Pete. Or I don't know who writes it. I
think it might be Pete. I think it might be Pete. And Anne swooped in for the last two books to be like, let me handle this, boys.
I got us into this mess. I'll
yeah.
get us out of this mess.
I'm going to get us out of it. You're dancing around the difficult issue too long. I'm going to come in and just slowly kill Sonny's mom. And then you can get back to doing what you do, telling your jokes.
Scholastic and Orym is like, Anne, this manuscript is 30 pages too long. And she's like, that's okay. Yeah.
That's okay.
I took a little extra time to kill Sonny's mom.
God. Brutal. Next week, we're going to be reading a Maggie book, Life Camera Action. I am looking forward to it. In the meantime, I would like to tell you that you should and must subscribe to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/BSEC podcast.
It's fun. And we actually will have posted a video of the ad that you've probably heard and are probably tired of.
Yeah.
On social media. So you should check that out if you need a little bit more convincing. It's tons of fun. It's a little sister book. Every week we discuss it. We have segments and we sing the descriptions. And merch is still on hold for the time being in terms of shipping.
You can still buy it.
But you can still buy it. It's bit.ly/BSCC merch. Please do rate and review our show on iTunes and join. You must join the Baby Nation Facebook group. Mm. It's where all the fun happens and everyone's very nice. Mm. Just go to the Babysitters Club Club Facebook page and check out the group Baby Nation that is linked there.
If you are looking for friends and you're jealous of all these people who are having like fun Zoom parties through this crisis and you're not having fun Zoom parties, join the fucking Facebook group because they have fun Zoom parties. And maybe we'll join them. We didn't join the last one because we're old men.
One day we will be in the Zoom parties. Check it out, Baby Nation on Facebook. I would like to tell you that my name has been this week, Jack Alexander Shepherd.
My name has been Tanner Greenring.
Sonny's mom is leaving this world now, and the way she goes, you would think that tears had just been invented.
It's good.
Messages on, I turn my messages up, and this message was just what I want, leaving their name and their number right away, keeping it tight cause they know just what to say, patiently waiting for the beep so I know who was trying to reach me at my home, well, I'm not here, though you just called me on the phone. And I thought I'd be home sooner, but now I'm not so sure, you know I'll call you in the future, and I don't need star 69. Or 411 with you. And I know you'll be relieved if you say just what you mean. You'll say, hey, I can leave a little message on this machine, cause I missed you. Yeah, I missed you. You know what to do.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.